We're going to pick up where we left off last time. And we're learning about putting off the old man, putting on the new man, and the focus being to put on the new man, but there has to be a putting off first for that to happen. And so if you're able, or you don't have to stand, we're going to just read here. We just prayed. So verse 9 in our text. I'll tell you what, never mind. Back up. Colossians 3, let's start at verse 1 tonight. Colossians 3, verse 1. We're going to pick up, we'll pick up kind of in the middle here. Colossians 3, verse 1. He says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Now in these 17 verses, there's a lot to unpack. We're going to try to move through it quickly tonight, but and there's several other places in the New Testament we find this same type of language that we want to put off the old man, put on the new man, and he gives us some specifics here. But this is all coming on the heels of the comment, the statement, the command to die to yourself, to mortify your members which are on the earth. Verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And then he walks through this list: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness. And then he says, and also put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, and lying. And I just want to walk through that list with you very quickly. I want you to understand tonight that from the beginning, Satan has come to tempt the people of God to rebel against God. And he did it in the garden with Eve, and he does it with us today. You might remember in Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. When the serpent came and beguiled her, he tricked her, he led her astray, he twisted the words of God to cause her to sin, and Satan works in the same way with us today. Amen. Consider 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. 1 John 2, 15. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Amen. There's no place in this world for us to love the things of this world. What are the things of this world? The things of this world are the things that have nothing to do with God. Amen. They have nothing to do with faith. that have nothing to do with truth, but they're only there to fulfill the lust of the flesh, to lead us away from faith and truth in God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And as we consider this list of things we're to put off, I believe that all of these things will have an impact, and there's temptation that happens in our spirit and in our mind and in our body. Consider it with me, if you would. Fornication is the Greek word porneia. It literally means harlotry, but it really has to do with any kind of sexual sin. It's the word we get pornography from. And so it could be looking with lust. It could be any kind of sexual sin, including homosexuality or transgenderism or adultery or anything that happens outside of the sacred bond of marriage, that is fornication. Amen. Everybody with me? This is a sin that we commit in our body. Think about uncleanness. It literally means impurity, and it could be physical or moral, but it really has the idea of evil thoughts and intentions. This is something that happens in our mind. And can I just tell you that's where our battle against sin happens? It begins in our mind. Amen. Uncleanness, evil thoughts and intentions, inordinate affection. It's the idea of a passion or a lust, and this moves out of the mind and into the physical. Inordinate affection. Passions or lust that are not right. This is a ungodly, an unnatural desire. Evil concupiscence has a similar definition. It's evil longing, it's evil desire, it's lust. And again, this is something that's in our mind. It's wicked thinking in our mind. Covetousness is greediness. It's a desire for things that God has forbidden. And he says that this is the same as idolatry. What is that? Anything we love more, value more, or serve more than God is an idol in our life. When we covet something, we want what God has given to someone else. What we're doing is we're saying we love that more than God. What we're doing is we're saying that God messed up because he gave it to someone else and he should have given it to us. Sometimes we have a hard time understanding what covetousness is. Sometimes a man will tease his wife about window coveting instead of window shopping. Is that sinful to go online and look at things that you might like to buy? No. It's wrong to want something that God has given to someone else. I think when we look to the law, it makes it very clear when he says, don't covet your neighbor's wife. It's not wrong for a man to want a wife. Whoever finds a wife finds a good thing. Amen. And all the men said, man, I try to help you guys out, and it's not wrong to want a wife. It's just wrong to want somebody else's wife. It's not wrong to want a house. It's just wrong to want someone else's house. It's not wrong to want a boat or a truck or a motorcycle. I knew I'd get at least one amen out there with that. It's not wrong to want things. It's wrong to want someone else's things. And it's covetousness when we do. And he says, this is the way you walked before. This is the way you lived your life before. These are the reasons that God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient to his word, to his law, to his truth. And he says in verse 7, this is the way you used to live your life. Notice that verse 7 puts these things in past tense. These things should not define the life of a believer. This should not be the direction of your life. This should not be the way that you're walking. That's in the past. It's put to death. Amen. Mortify these things. Put them to death because Christ died for them. But then he says in verse 8, but now ye also put off all these. Not only has he changed you in saving you, but he's continued to work in your life that you put off other things too, like anger. Amen. I love the Greek word for anger. It's ogre. Isn't that good? I mean, it just really puts a picture in your mind. When you're angry without a cause, what are you acting like? An ogre. Amen? Next time one of you guys gets angry and acts a little out of sorts and not right in front of your wife and children, just remember you're acting like an ogre. And you smell like one too. Anger is literally defined as violent passion, abhorrence, indignation, or wrath. This has to do with our heart attitude. This is a condition in the inside of our heart. I told you Satan's going to, he's going to tempt you in your mind. He's going to tempt you in your spirit. He's going to tempt you in your body. And this is something, this battle is fought with your mind. And a lot of you in this room struggle with anger. I'd like to just pick on the men because I think there's something in a man that we especially tend to deal with anger. But listen, women struggle with anger too, just in a different way. A man really does act like an ogre. It's out there. It's violent. Give him a big club. And right? Amen. Women are more like assassins.
Amen.
They don't come in and stomp and snort and yell, but they are still as deadly. Don't look so happy when you amen that. You're supposed, this is a confession. This is repentance, not, we're not rejoicing in this. These are bad things we're putting off. The next one is wrath. It's thumos. It's passion as if breathing hard. It has an idea of fierceness. It has an idea of fire. It has an idea of indignation. Have you just been so mad that you just breathe hard? Have you ever seen your kids do that? You ever seen that? Nostrils flaring. That's wrath. And your kids do it, and you know, you're ashamed, and you try to correct them. But if you're honest, you got that same thing in you. Wrath is that thumos. It's an anger. It's a heat that comes when we don't put our anger in check. And when you get angry without a cause, you need to repent immediately because it leads down a very dangerous road when you hang on to your anger. The next one is malice. It just simply means badness. It's depravity. It's malignity. It's trouble. It's evil. It's wickedness. Malice is just bad. And he says, put it out of your life. Blasphemy we are familiar with, especially as it relates to God, but it's not limited to blaspheming God. The word literally means slander. And I think in the context, this isn't talking about blaspheming the name of God, although you should put that off. We say the name of our God with reverence. Amen. We speak the name of our Savior with respect and with awe and with worship. Amen. But this is not, in my opinion, I believe it's not just talking about the way we speak about the name of God, but this is the way we talk about other people. Amen. Did you know slander is actually illegal? Amen. To publicly slander someone? It's also against God's law. It's also against the conduct of how a Christian should act in the church. We don't slander other people's names. Amen. We don't do it publicly. We don't do it secretly. We don't do it sneakily. Amen. Filthy communication, vile conversation. There seems to be a lot of confusion about what's filthy communication today. I don't know that I fully understand all about it. I understand that there are words that cultures change, and in certain cultures, certain words are bad words, and other cultures, they're not bad words. But can I just say that you ought to know what bad words are in your culture, and you ought not use them?
Amen.
Our language should be right.
Can
also say vile conversation moves into these other things. This is the way we talk. Blasphemy, filthy communication, and lying. Does everyone know what lying is? You ever done it?
Amen.
Yeah. Filthy communication, blasphemy, and lying, they all tie together with the way we talk. And this tongue, it's a little member, but it can cause all kinds of havoc.
Amen.
A little spark can burn down millions of acres of forest.
Amen.
And one little word can tear down so much.
Amen.
The rudder of a great ship is tiny in comparison to the rest of it, but it turns the whole thing.
Amen.
We need to guard our tongues. Now, I think everybody gets this. Have you ever said something and as the words are coming out of your mouth, you were trying to reel them back in? But the only thing you could put in there was your foot.
Amen.
Anybody else? Is it just me? Me and Brother Terry. All right, God bless you. We got to slow down. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So there's all these things that we need to put off, and there's other things that we get to put on. He says in verse 12. No, let's start at verse 10. I'm sorry, verse 10. You've put off the old man with his deeds, and verse 10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. All of this happens when we're renewed in knowledge. It happens in our mind. This warfare happens in our mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The war that we face in putting off the old man and putting on the new man, it starts right here in between your ears. Amen. It starts right here in your mind. And you are going to have wicked thoughts. And when they come, you need to pull them down and cast them down. Bring them down into captivity. Put them in bondage to obedience to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you that we have to do that quickly, because the longer we let those wicked thoughts linger, the harder they are to get control of. They grow quickly. A few of you are agreeing. It seems like some of you have been in this battle. You understand what I'm saying. I'm telling you that none of you are exempt from having wicked thoughts. Don't y'all think Miss Mabel's about the sweetest person you've ever known? Isn't she sweet? We're going to pray for your granddaughter. Sister Mabel's one of the sweetest people I've ever known in my life. And you can ask her later. She'll testify. She'll confess. She's had wicked thoughts. Every one of us have. And we've got to be quick to bring them into captivity. How do we do that? We've got to renew our mind. We have to renew our mind. How do we do that? We do that through the Word of God. Now, he's going to say it multiple times here, but it's the renewing of your mind that happens through the Word of God. Later, he's going to say, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And get this, the parallel passage to this in Ephesians is where he says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. He's saying the same things. And over there, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Here in Colossians, he says, fill yourself with the Word of God. Why? Those things go together. You can't be filled with the Spirit without being filled with the Word of God. And when you get the Word of God in your mind, it's going to renew your mind and help you to overcome the desires of the flesh. It's through the Word of God and the Spirit of God that are going to help you put off the old man and put on the new man. What am I saying? If you're not in your Bible, you cannot be sanctified in this life. Amen. It's not going to happen. It only happens through the Word of God. He tells you who you are in Christ. Christ is all and in all. You are the elect of God, chosen, holy, sanctified, holy, pure, blameless. You are a saint. You are beloved of God. And let me just ask you a question. When he starts telling you who you are in Christ, does it not give you a desire to be obedient to Christ? Amen. That he has chosen you by his grace. Amen. That he's made you sanctified. He's set you apart. He's made you one of his own. That you are loved by God. Amen. And notice this statement of being beloved, beloved of God. It comes on the heels of telling you exactly what you have been without Christ. That you walked in fornication and uncleanness, that you walked in covetousness, that you still deal with anger and malice, and you need to put those things out of your heart and mind and your life. He's saying this is who you are, but he still loves you.
Amen.
He says to put on some things. Some of them are weird. The first one is bowels. That's weird. This word, bowels, is the word we get spleen from. So put on spleen. What in the world does that mean? It's literally that the word we get spleen from, and it has to do with our inward affection. It's in here. We usually use the term heart, right? Because you all grew up on Disney, and it's all about your heart. But the Bible goes a little deeper than that. Have you ever felt something down here?
Amen.
I mean a love for somebody that's just down here. It's a little deeper than your heart. Have you ever longed for something down here?
Amen.
I think that's the picture. I think it's great. I'm telling you that it's a little deeper than what's in our mind. And he's saying, I want you to put on inward affection of mercy. It's about having pity. It's about having compassion for others. That's what this is when he talks about bowels. The next one is kindness. It literally means moral excellence.
Amen.
Can I just tell you that I think sometimes we lower the bar too low? What do you do? What's the world do when the standard's too high and everybody keeps coming short of the standard? You know what the world does? They lower the bar.
Amen.
So it looks a little better. And then when people kind of fall short of that, they just lower the bar again. Can I just encourage you tonight? That doesn't work in God's kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
The bar has already been set. It doesn't move because the bar is Christ. And he calls us to be holy even as our Father in heaven is holy. How do we do that? We die to ourselves. We put off the old man. We put on the new man. We walk in Christ, in his holiness, in his righteousness, by the power of his Spirit. And he's calling us to kindness, which is moral excellence, that we live different than the world, that we live different than we used to live.
Amen.
Humbleness of mind. Humbleness of mind. Lowliness of mind. I don't know that there's a harder one for all of us. Because at the root of all of our sin is our pride, and he calls us to be humble. And by the way, that's something you have to do. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of God. You have to make a choice to put yourself down. Meekness is humility as well. Gentleness. Long-suffering. It's fortitude. It's patience. Forbearing. Forbearing is to put up with, to bear with, to endure. It can be translated, suffer one another. All right. How many of you guys have been married for more than a year? Okay. Have you ever had to suffer one another? You know, when you ought to amen, you don't. And when you ought to just keep those amens to yourself, you say them. You know, we have to do that in our marriages. We have to do that with our family. We ought to be doing that in the church. I don't know if you got the memo, but no one in this church is perfect.
Amen.
Least of all your pastor. It's okay. You can amen that. Melissa probably did. None of us are perfect. And when we don't forbear one another, when we don't suffer long with one another, when we don't forgive, that's next, forgive one another, we're acting as though we're perfect. We're supposed to forgive one another the way Christ has forgiven us.
Amen.
And above all this, put on charity. That's that agape love. It's the bond of perfectness. It's what holds us all together. That's the same word he used back in Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. We're bound together. We're tied together. We're knit together. And it's through godly love. That we ought to love each other no matter what, especially when we're not lovable. He says we're to be ruled by peace, quietness. This word peace, ruled by peace, can be translated set at one again. Where there is division, we're set at one again. It's by the peace of Christ. We're to be thankful, grateful, and to be inhabited richly by the word of God in us, so that we can teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I won't take the time to dig through it too much, but just notice this. Everything that he sets as something to put off, he gives us something to put on.
Amen.
In the place of fornication, you could put kindness, which is moral excellence. In the place of uncleanness, which is evil thoughts and intentions, you can put humbleness of mind.
Amen.
In the place of inordinate affection, you can also put kindness. In the place of evil concupiscence, you can put those inward affections of mercy. In the place of covetousness, you could put meekness. In the place of anger, you could put long-suffering and peace. In the place of forbearing, you could put, in the place of wrath, you can put forbearing. In the place of malice, you can put forgiving. In the place of blasphemy or slander, you could put charity. In the place of filthy communication, you could put the word of God that's in you richly.
Amen.
In the place of lying, you could put thankfulness. Everything that he gives us to put off, he gives us something to put on. And I told you last week, the picture here of putting off is taking off dirty clothes, and then we put on something clean.
Amen.
And that is the character and the nature of our Savior. And that happens as we look into the Word of God. We're conformed to the same image. We're conformed from glory to glory. And the more time you spend looking into His Word, the more you'll look like Him.
Amen.
The more time you spend looking into His Word, the more you'll look like him. We teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, verse 17, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Everything we do with thanksgiving, everything we do in his name, what's that mean? It means we do it in obedience to him, under his authority, because he has all authority in our lives. Tonight, I'm going to ask our musicians to come. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. A lot of things that God calls us to put off, a lot of things that we need to put on. I just want to submit to you tonight that none of us are perfect, so there's probably some issues that all of us need to work on. Now's a real good time to ask God to help you with that. Now's a real good time as he's convicted your heart. Maybe you're struggling with some anger or bitterness, and you need to put that off. Now you need to come and pray and ask God, help me to put that off. Maybe you see some things lacking in your life, some things that you need to have there that aren't there to put on. Maybe tonight you just want to pray and say, Lord, help me to put on these things that you've called me to put on, because I don't have it in my life like I should. Whatever it is, if he's convicting your heart, you come. While we sing, what number?
Page 297.
297, the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. You respond in faith and obedience while we sing.